Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Rebecca from Texas. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
Jumped the gun there. I was so eager to get on the phone call.
Great. It's good to be eager for Good News Updates.
Oh, that's right. We have some good things to talk about.
Yes, we do. Rebecca, I understand you were at some recent meetings as part of Living Compassion.
Yeah, we did our annual Best Year Yet goal setting and planning meetings there in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And with our facilitator, Jan Latender, who comes in and just leads us in this wonderful process. And we came up with some wonderful goals and guidelines and a new paradigm for the Living Compassion Board and the work that we're doing.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Tell me more about it.
So, let me set it up a little bit more for us, and then we'll get a drum roll for the new paradigm that we came up with.
Okay.
So what the process is about is really looking at our successes and what our accomplishments, I should say, and what are some of the disappointments or the stories that we're of conditioning that we tend to fall into, and then how we want to frame or shape the work from here on that would give us the best chance of going in the direction that we really want to go in, that our hearts want. And so what we do is we come up with some guidelines that we refer to throughout the year that'll help us on this path and really undergird it all with a new paradigm, something that we really want to live by and keep our attention on throughout the whole year. So We did that, and our guidelines I'll talk about first are the guidelines.
Great. Sounds good.
You ready to hear them?
Yes, I am. If I could do a drum roll, I would.
Well, the drum roll, okay. Here it is. Number one is to take responsibility, not control.
Uh-huh.
Number two is communicate boldly. And the third guideline is grow practice everywhere.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So take responsibility, not control. Communicate boldly. And the third one, grow, practice everywhere.
Yeah, aren't those great?
That's great. Yeah.
Can you imagine if we followed those guidelines every moment of every day? Wouldn't we all be in a fabulous place?
We would be in a fabulous place. Yes, indeed.
Okay, so those guidelines are going to kind of support us in living our new paradigm. So drum roll is, here's our new paradigm.
Yeah.
Very good. Ready?
Yes.
We live boldly and risk conditioning's wrath.
Great. Say that again for us.
We live boldly and risk conditioning's wrath.
Uh-huh. So we live boldly, and we can expect that conditioning will have something to say about that.
Yes.
So
yes.
We don't have to be surprised by that.
In fact, we are expecting it. We
oh,
are
okay.
on the offensive. You know, not only are we not surprised, we are looking for it.
Uh-huh.
And we're ready for it.
Yes. Yes.
And not only are we looking, it's not that our attention is going to be on conditioning. We're just, you know, savvy and cunning enough to know that that's what happens. Our real attention is on how we're taking bold, courageous steps to wake up and end suffering. That's the first part, you know, that is so just so central to this practice, is to live boldly. And for me, that just speaks to the the courage that every single person who's on this path is showing. And as we drop the conversations one after another every single moment, as we communicate boldly and as we really step up and given that guideline to take responsibility without letting ego sneak in and try to, you know, make taking responsibility really about getting control.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. So it sounds like pointing us in the direction that we want to go, keeping our eyes focused on what it is that we want.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that really ties in with something else we were talking about over the weekend, and that is what's coming up that Sherry has mentioned in her recent 20th email, I believe, and that is the personal practice participation plan, what we affectionately call the 3P plan.
Yes.
And so to what you just said, to set the direction of where we want to go, that really is living boldly and risking conditioning's wrath, because anytime we consciously set out a plan for our practice, you know, to look at the whole year and see what we're going to commit to in the way of retreats or workshops or practices that we want to incorporate into our daily lives, that is a very bold step, if I do say so. Don't you think?
Yes, I do think so. And it reminds me, in the sense of best year yet, of having that written plan, that written program of what it is that I'm committing to. Because it's easy for me to think, oh, yeah, I'm going to commit to that, and yes, I'm going to do that. But to really take those thoughts and put them down on paper, you know, ink doesn't float away kind of the way my thoughts float away.
That's right. There's no arguing with what's written in black and white, right?
Yes, exactly. And I have it written down. It's right there in front of me. This is what, in my most centered moment, this is what I committed to. This is what I want for my life.
Mm-hmm. And I think by us as a board doing this, we're really inviting, well, this is another big part of the conversation, to invite every single person who practices and with this Sangha in on that. So, you know, so one personal practice participation plan may be, you know, go to one retreat a month, and one maybe try to get to a retreat a year, but your new one, one maybe just read the daily peace quotes, or, you know, they are just going to vary as much as the individuals that do it. But that's not the point. How much we do is not the point. The point is setting that intention. That's where the boldness is setting the intention and making the plan.
Yes. That just sounded so great. So the boldness is in setting the intention and making the plan, because that's where the commitment is. No matter it's one retreat or 10 retreats or no retreats, what we're looking for is that commitment from our heart to show up and participate.
Yeah. And I think the beautiful thing about where we are as a Sangha now is that there's just so much support for everybody out in the world. You know, just the tweets that we get, the practice everywhere messages all the time. And, you know, it's just, there's just so much support for us to take this step.
Yes, wherever we are, which is so great.
Yeah. You know, as I was remembering what I heard you say one time, where maybe you could repeat that, where your watch was vibrating, and what was that?
Yes, I enjoy listening to Open Air Archives over lunch, and I was listening to the archives, and then my vibrating watch went off, which reminds me to breathe, and while I was trying to turn my watch off, the tweet came through from Sherry, probably all of them telling me to breathe at the same time.
Yeah. Now, here's the question. Did you breathe? Did you come back?
So busy trying to manage all this technology. And that's what I want. I'd rather have somebody telling me breathe from three different angles all at the same time rather than not having that message come through at all.
Yeah, it does. It just feels incredibly supportive.
Yes, in my experience it is.
You know, I was remembering an email class assignment that we had a long time ago, where the assignment was to go sit out and look at a tree and try to see where the tree really ends, you know, and where, you know, what makes it distinct as a tree, where it stops and you know, something else begins. And as as I was looking at it, I noticed, you know, it really doesn't end with the roots, because it draws nutrients from the soil, and then it doesn't really end with the nutrients because something's got to be in the soil. So, you know, then some other kind of matter's got to strengthen that. So it's like there is really no separation. Do you know?
I've heard that
what I'm pointing
somewhere before.
Yeah. And to me, I think that's what I think about with this. The personal practice plan, it's so much for everybody, not just for the monks or just for, you know, longtime practitioners. It's really for everybody. There's really no place where Sangha ends. Anybody who's, at all alive and breathing, is invited to participate, because it's really more about being human than about, any particular identity as a Sangha. It's about waking up for all of us. And I think that that Grow Practice Everywhere guideline really speaks to that, that it's really all of us everywhere, no matter where we are in our practice, and being invited in over and over again.
Yeah, that was very beautiful, what you just said, Rebecca. That idea of it's for everybody, it's all of us. Everybody is Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I find it beautiful. It's a beautiful concept, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Rebecca, thank you for a beautiful conversation.
Well, truly my pleasure. Thanks, Michael.
Okay, you're welcome.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. That was a fabulous conversation.
Yes, it was fun.
Yeah, it took me right back to this weekend and getting to participate in all of that that focused attention and awareness.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Yeah, and I really enjoyed what both of you had to say about Sangha and where we are now as a Sangha and what that means, and how open it all is and how welcome everyone is to participate in waking up and ending suffering and availing themselves of all of the support that we can all bring to that endeavor for each one of us.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes. One thing I love about that idea, and it's my experience, that it doesn't matter if you're showing up for the first time ever or you've been coming for 40 years. Everyone is welcome, and everyone is included in exactly the same way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Ah, it's a good thing.
Very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, I have a couple announcements here.
Oh, okay.
Coming up on Saturday, February 20th, is another fabulous one-day at-home working meditation retreat.
I have heard such good things about those. I think I might participate in that one.
Great.
Yeah, I have some working meditation I could do. And sitting with everybody would be very fun. So, yeah, February 20th.
Saturday, February 20th.
All right.
And also, Practice Everywhere continues via Twitter and Facebook and your cell phone. Practice coming at you from every direction all the time.
All the time. I confess, I love it. Because there are so many of these that they can be around the clock, and hopefully whatever time zone somebody's in, they're also being supported during their waking hours. I read them, and I forget that I had anything to do with them.
Yeah.
And it's just as fun to receive them. It's new in the moment.
Yeah.
I was with somebody recently who said that she had the awareness that it wasn't a matter of just reading it and going on with your life, that it was actually a matter of stopping what you're doing and doing what's being encouraged in the message.
Yes.
And that's just, I really recognize that tendency to just go, stop and breathe and say, oh, that's nice, rather than stop, breathe, say thank you, look
yes.
at what you're grateful, to really take the time and turn the attention to it and do it.
Yes.
And when a person does, it's just very, very powerful. So simple, so quick, really, and yet
yes.
really powerful.
Quick and powerful.
Mm.
Just like practice.
Yes.
Sherry, we have a number of callers here.
Right. Let's talk to them.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Jen from Rhinebeck, New York.
Hey, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Glad to be home.
Yes, good.
Yeah, yeah. So what's going on?
Well, I have been looking at something I've been starting to recognize it over the last year or two, and I'm in doing a 30-day self-guided retreat right now, during which this is sort of coming to the forefront. And it's a recognition of a belief that I have that my body cannot be trusted. And I'm seeing how that has sort of infiltrated so many different areas of my life. I've always thought of it around two more specific areas around issues around food and, you know, just sort of not being happy with how my body looks. But I'm starting to catch on that it actually has affected even more parts of my life than just those.
And can you say more about that?
Yeah, I think I feel like what I'm seeing is how conditioning is having me believe that whatever message I'm getting from my body can't be trusted. In ways like, you know, if I think, the idea comes up that I want to have ice cream, or I tend to want to eat a lot of sugar a lot. And I try and do this intellectual kind of check-in with my body, like, oh, okay, is that what you really want? The answer always comes back, yes.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm starting to catch on that that's not actually my body giving me the answer.
Uh-huh. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Yeah.
So my 30-day guided retreat, my commitment for that is to actually check in with my body 5 times a day. And write down whatever the physical sensations are that I'm feeling. And the idea was to sort of start trying to see if I could identify what it feels like to be hungry. So I'm sort of focused on, like, the sensations around what might be labeled as hunger.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's just been interesting. I think it's actually been more useful just to stop and check in 5 times a day than
exactly.
It is to actually, you know, decide what's hunger or not hunger. That's kind of an intellectual exercise still.
Well, the part about that would make me eager to check a little closer is, who is it who's interpreting that?
Yeah.
So it still puts whatever that system is, and of course we suspect that we know what that system is, in charge of saying, oh, that sensation is that. What that means is, and of course, we both would agree that that's what's not trustworthy.
Yes. Yeah.
The one doing that process is the one who's keeping the whole thing in place.
Right.
Right. And would be very invested in, oh, you can't trust your body because look what it does.
Absolutely. Yeah.
After that same, if we wanted to call it an intellectual process, or that same, you know, it's funny, isn't it? I've actually never seen this quite like this before, but that process of getting information.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what does my body do? I look to my body. Do you want sugar?
Right.
And the answer comes back, indeed I do, in the form of ice cream. And so you realize, well, that's not my body saying that, you know, talking in full sentences about it wants ice cream.
Right.
But what is that? It's not really a mind process in the sense that, it doesn't quite fit into any of the systems that we ordinarily think of. You know, it's not really a feeling. It's not really a thought. It's an interpretation of, a what.
Yeah, it's because it's not an interpretation of a sensation, I don't think.
No.
It seems It seems more like it's self-hate over there in the wings whispering the suggestion that, oh, you want this.
Yeah.
And, like,
and then,
I don't even hear that. It's just
right.
That.
Oh. And you don't even, I suspect, know who is receiving the whispers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then after somebody receives the whisper,
yeah.
What is that whole system that gets kicked in?
Yeah.
So there's just so much happening in a realm that we at least I don't think we have really clear labels for, so that we can say, oh, well, that's coming from that, or, oh, okay, well, when that happens, it's because of that. You know, it's this vague, really vague stuff, subliminal, not only subliminal information, but subliminal interpretation, and, you know, sometimes even subliminal action.
So is this a conversation that I need to just drop, or this is where I get stuck because I do have to eat. That's one
right.
message
no,
that
I
get all the time. It's like, well, you got to eat, so.
Yeah, you got to eat, so here, let me be in charge of that whole thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, you know, I it is my experience that you can, in fact, trust the body, that the body really does know what it wants.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we are, it's not our habit, it's not our training to stop and let the body let us know what it wants.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're conditioned to do is constantly be reacting to these subliminal signals. And then by the time I get, wow, I'm hungry.
Yeah,
that system is in place to tell me what to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's rarely the kind of time that goes, okay, all right, I'm hungry. What would my body, what? So if we look at the whole day in terms of nutrition for the body.
Yeah.
So I look at it, you know, it's 3:00 in the afternoon. I had this, this, and this in the morning, this, this, this. At lunch, what would balance all of that to really give my body what it would need at this point? And with enough time and attention, the body will give you that information.
So you mean the kind of attention that I'm doing with this?
That's right.
With my commitment, like, okay, what's going on? What are the sensations?
Yep.
Like, okay, there's squeezing in my belly. There's kind of this cool feeling in my chest, and you know,
I don't necessarily
know what any of it means right now.
That's right. But what
yeah.
I would encourage you to start practicing is actually talking to the body.
Mm.
Okay, body, what do you need? You know, what would take care of you? And you could even have a list of things. You know, it's kind of like muscle testing without having to hold your arm out or, you know, do the thing with your fingers. But to run through a list of things that would be, that you know, because you know, they would be good for the body. I mean, we know what's good for the body.
I'm an expert in that at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to ask the body of those things, which one appeals to you? And it will begin to respond. And, of course, what you know is this other system is going to be over there just screaming bloody murder, that that's not what you want and that that's not it and that what you really want is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which will go a long ways toward continuing to reveal that previously subliminal or unconscious system that's been operating.
Yeah.
Because the more you don't go with it, of course, the more desperate it gets and the louder it gets trying to reel you back in.
Yeah, and not too long ago, it actually, I saw right through it and it was giving me the suggestion of, you know what we really need? We really need to find a program, like, you know, a practice that's going to help us love our love your body. It's going to help you love your body, learn to love your body. There's got to be steps that someone can teach you to learn how to love your body. And it was so funny because I was like, are you joking? For some reason, I like saw it at that moment that that was more of the same.
Yes.
Like it was working from the premise of, you know, that it's, you know, it's a project.
Right,
it can't be trusted. You've got to learn how to do this. Like the body can't be trusted. You've got to do it yourself. Like it was amazing. Yeah.
The body is a problem to be solved.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And conditioned mind is the authority and expert that will be able to solve that problem for you. Rather than it's not a problem.
Right.
It is the way I live.
Yeah.
Yeah, without it, I am not. So rather than approaching it as a problem, you know, it is the best friend you've got. It's your, you know, your most intimate experience of life.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is intelligent, it is wise, and it's fine, which is why conditioning wants to marginalize it as much as possible.
Right. Yeah, and it's interesting because lately I sense that all of that, and that gives me this real sense of like excitement and freedom. But
mm-hmm.
the flip side of that is that, it's like I've got a new body. I don't really know how this thing operates. Like, so I feel like I'm a little kid or something, I suppose, and that makes certain parts of me feel very nervous, and you know, I need to be hyper responsible about everything. So this is like, you know, unsettling to those parts.
Yeah, and I would keep a close eye on those parts because they may not be parts.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that same system.
Okay.
So what occurs to me when you say that is maybe to consciously move into a sort of a practicing humility place with this, and so that you really are in a student role with the body.
Yeah.
Because intellectually, you know that the body is wise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the body is such an amazing thing.
Yeah.
You know, we can't even begin to understand all that it's able to do. And so for you to take a student position with it and to ask it to teach you rather than being in a role of teacher to it.
Mm. Or somebody who's going to figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out, supervise it, corral it, steer it. Yeah.
Manage it, yeah.
Manage it, yeah, exactly. But instead to say, you know, you are my connection to life.
Mm-hmm.
Teach me about life.
Okay, that feels good. That feels like very... I don't know, liberating in a sense.
Yeah, exciting rather than nerve-wracking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It feels very open-ended. Like I don't have to come up with the answer.
Oh, exactly.
Which is a relief.
Yeah, it is. And it's the same process as meditation. You sit with it and you wait for the intelligence that animates you to give you the information that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And growing a trust that it always gives us that at exactly the perfect time and exactly the perfect way.
All right.
Good. Let us know.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Good night, Jen.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I love that perspective of body as teacher rather than how I sometimes look at it, which is the body is my slave.
Oh, exactly.
Yes.
God, isn't that it? The body is the slave of conditioned mind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's really quite perfect, because when we do begin to turn that authority over to the body, it really does interfere on many more levels than just the physical with conditioned mind's ability to control us.
Oh, interesting. So turning our focus to one area liberates us in all areas. Is that what
yes.
you're pointing out?
Uh-huh. Yes, yes, yeah. And especially by giving the body the respect and admiration, and that, you know, so much of religion forever has been to identify the body as the problem.
Yes.
As if the, you know, the mind is some pure force.
Yes.
Or the, you know, that kind of attitude, and the mind would do just fine if it weren't for this body with all of its, but you know, once we start paying attention to it, we realize that the body is actually fine. It's conditioned mind that is using the body against us, and in ways that cause us, as Jen was saying, not to trust the body, to be afraid of the body. You know, it's going to do something to me or get me in some way. It's weak, and it'll lead me into temptation and sin and evil and God knows what.
Yeah.
But when we start looking at it, we realize it's condition. It's that conversation of conditioned mind that takes us into those places, not the body.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Wonderful.
Very fun.
Barry, we're going to have a sponsor break, and then we will be right back.
All right.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have five more callers here.
All right.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry Michael. It's Kieran calling.
Hi, Kieran.
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
I wanted to report some great news.
I love that.
I usually call in such despair, and it's so fabulous to be able to call in with great triumph.
Yay!
Yeah.
Practice so works.
That's it. That's what I'm calling about. I'll make it brief because there's so many other callers, and I know how hard it is to be in despair waiting. Sunday that just passed. I got, which is actually some beautiful news, my sister's pregnant.
Oh, lovely.
Which is totally lovely, except, and it's perfect and beautiful and amazing, except I have wanted to be pregnant for years, and it hasn't happened for me. So it struck in this really, really harsh place, which is my very, very densest karmic pattern. And but then the added thing of what a terrible reaction to such good news. But what was amazing was at first I thought, oh, here we go. It's going to be back to the suicide call. We're going to have to take the Tylenol out of the house. We're going to have to take the knives out of the house. I'm going to have watch, you know, people watching over me. I'm not going to make it through the week if I don't get, you know, like thinking through my supports, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I just let myself just cry and cry and cry and cry. And after about 10 minutes, a neighbor saw me crying hysterically in the yard, came over. And gave me a hug, and I let myself be nourished by that. And I didn't stay all contracted, and then I let myself be nourished by that. And then she said some beautiful things just about, you know, your time will come, and, with you know, miracles can happen, and just really great things to make me change the channel. And then something I had spoken to you about recently was just about being really, really physical. So I cried in her arms for about 10 minutes, and then I was like, I'm going to garden. And I, like, dug big holes and planted some plants and pulled out all the weeds and just, you know, changed my mind. You know, in about a half an hour, it was totally over, and I was just completely fine.
Oh, wow.
A thing that has taken me out, like completely taken me out, and has just been such a dense karmic issue. And seriously, in probably less than 30 minutes, it had its storm in it. So I just wanted to say, like, 2.5 years of practice and chinks in the armor, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's so great, because it's a process, isn't it? I mean, if you hadn't let yourself have the response that you had, if the voices had talked you into, no, you can't do that. Oh my God, what's the matter with you? You're so selfish. Why can't you be happy for your sister? Or if you had gone with the self-hatred and the whatever, you know, that angle about what's wrong with you, that this doesn't, you know, that whole thing, you could have stayed there for a lot more years.
Yeah.
And yet, to let it be there is the thing that has it pass through.
And the tools, all these fabulous tools, right, about, like, you know, what all of our email classes are about and what we've been practicing here, about, like, take the sunshine in, take the hug in, like, actually feel.
Be present with what is.
Yeah, like, there's a tremendous amount of nourishment available right now if you'll tune into it.
Yeah, we can keep our attention on what makes us miserable and keep that story going, or we can turn our attention to everything else that's here, giving us all of the good things that life has to give us, and have that experience. And it's not either or. You know, it's not a matter of, oh, it's fine, it doesn't bother me at all, life is grand. Yeah, it does, actually. Parts are really sad about that, and angry or frustrated, or, you know, all of those feelings, and it's fine for that to be there. And at the same time, there's all this goodness and beauty and all of the things that I have in life that I really want and enjoy and appreciate. And
there was no repression in that experience. Exactly. Like, it was there, the despair, the fear, all the things that happened about that. Exactly. And they just rode themselves through, but I had all these tools to work with. And
you were using
I'm
them.
Totally fine. I'm completely fine. I was fine that night. Like, I'm fine.
Because
and that is shocking.
Then you also had the garden tools. And you were able to pick them up and go out and really move that energy through your body.
Yes. But seriously, the last at least 10 years has definitely been populated with being this unbelievable, despairing mass due to, you know, these kinds of this particular issue, and just feeling like, you know, it absolutely, for whatever silly reasons, putting me right at suicide's doorstep. Like, you know, very, very crazy, terrible things can happen to me that are way worse, and I'm totally fine. This is my karmic issue, you know?
Yeah.
So
what a blessing to know that.
Well, this is it. The darkest demon that I have came right in at me, and a half an hour later, I'm like, fine. Amazing.
Congratulations.
Thank you. A bazillion,
hard
bazillion
work pays
things.
Off.
Exactly. And I'm just
yeah.
so grateful. And I just like hearing your voice today. It's like this good, loving, smart, wise friend. You know, it's just so grateful.
Excellent.
So grateful
Excellent.
For the work you and Michael do. So I'm going to jump off the phone. Thank you a bazillion times.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. Sherry, I love a good success story.
Oh, my gosh. Doesn't that just light you up all over?
Oh, yes, indeed, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
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 Hi, Sherry, Michael, it's Dakota.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm really good. How are you guys?
Good. You sound like you're a long ways away.
Yeah, well, I am, but maybe the phone's kind of funny, too. Yeah,
I think so.
Way out here in Washington, but feeling very connected with Practice Everywhere and the radio show and all these wonderful tools we have.
Good, good, oh, good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
what's going on?
I wanted to call back and just say thank you for everything, for the practice. And I was on the radio show like 5 weeks ago or something doing a good news update and got cut off. And I never had the chance to say thank you. It was such an amazing opportunity. And I just really kind of did wonders to kind of fight off that voice that talks me into believing that I'm not, you know, really connected to this practice.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, that's just so not true. It's so clearly not true. And I've had the opportunity to listen to that several times and just like, oh, it brings tears to my eyes. And I'm just so happy to have practice in my life and to share this with so many wonderful people and just so much appreciation for me showing up with so much enthusiasm and just kind of diligence.
yeah. And what a great thing to get to a place of realizing that the voices say something and you know what they're saying is not true. And you can say, that is not true. That
yep.
is not my experience. Yeah.
I'm not
what
buying
freedom.
It.
I'm not buying it. Yeah. What
yeah.
freedom.
Yeah. It really is. It really is. And, you know, like you're always saying, it's a moment-by-moment practice because a lot of times I do buy it if I'm not paying really close attention.
Right.
But there are these increasingly more and more times when there is that awareness, and it's like, no, I've seen this before. I know how this works.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And it lies. And, you know, again, it's just a place that it takes most of us a while to get to in practice where we realize when something is coming at us with that kind of negativity, the approach itself is the proof that it's not true. You know, so there's a voice that comes in trying to tell you that you're not connected to practice. Well, the fact that it's saying something like that is all the information that we need that it's a liar. And what the check-in about that is that people who care about you don't say those kinds of things to you.
Right.
So the fact that somebody is saying it to you, whether, you know, even though it's inside your own head, is all the proof you need that this is is something that doesn't care about me, that doesn't like me. And so why would I want to give any credence to the opinion of somebody who really doesn't like me?
Right.
Yeah.
That
but
makes
it takes
a lot of
us,
sense.
Yeah, but it takes us a while to catch on to that because we're so used to just believing the voice and feeling bad. Believe the voice and feel bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the truth. And I just love listening to some of the previous conversations, and so many little things popped out. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's so my experience of it, too. You're talking about how a lot of the processes that go on are kind of murky or vague, kind
mm-hmm.
of in this.
Mm-hmm.
They happen in this kind of unconscious place, and everything's fine, and then there's this murky, vague process that goes on,
yeah.
and then everything's horrible. It's like, wait, what?
Wait a minute, yeah.
What happened?
Uh-huh.
You know, and just kind of very patiently and diligently going about getting a flashlight and kind of just
yes.
trying to see what's going on there.
Yeah, that is such a good image. Just
yeah.
carrying that flashlight around, and you know that murkiness happened. Because you went from feeling fine to feeling not fine. So
right.
something not fine happened in there. And get out that flashlight of awareness and just start going through stuff. Go through it and go through it and go through it until what happened becomes clear, until we're not pulled into that murkiness any longer.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, because with that... as you talk about, when there's that kind of clarity and you can really clearly see what's going on, like, okay, this is obviously self-hate, and it's obviously designed just, you know, for one reason, and one reason only, just to make me miserable, then it's so much easier to let go of and to not give it any kind of, you know, pay any attention to it.
Right,
it's that kind
right.
of, it's that murky in-between zone where it's like, is this good information kind of thing, where it gets
right.
tricky?
Yes, 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 yeah. And when we can get to that clarity and see, wait a minute, this is designed to make me, no, I don't want to feel bad. I choose not to feel bad. And I was just having a conversation with somebody recently. What I was saying was, what is, I mean, I was trying to figure this out. I was trying to see what goes on. Said, what, you know, somebody knows that the voice that they're listening to is lying to them, and yet they still believe it.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, I can tell
What's
you now.
What's that all about?
Yeah, what is that all about? The voice says, you know, you're stupid and incompetent, and
yeah.
I know it's a voice of self-hate, I know it's not true. And yet it says that, and I believe it enough to get hooked in and feel bad. And the person I was talking to said, well, you know, it takes a lot of courage to say to that voice, I don't believe you. Because there's a fear that behind the power that voice is already exerting over me, it has more.
Mm-hmm.
So if
that,
I say,
yeah.
yeah, if I say, no, I don't think that gun is loaded, you know, it's going to pull out a gun from another pocket. And yeah, exactly. Pull out a bazooka and blow me off the face of the earth. So
that's still my experience of it. I was just today, I was just kind of, I was listening to an archive, and you were talking with, another person kind of about something similar and about seeing processes at work, seeing kind of more specifically like ways that we go about reinforcing karma and conditioning with
uh-huh.
behavior kind
uh-huh.
of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and kind of seeing, you know, how like, you know, there's a karmic type of pattern that goes on. Like, for instance, with me, you know, it's a, going to a place of kind of anxiety and depression in relationship, and then seeing how, you know, these voices come up, and, you know, knowing that they're voices of self-hate, knowing it's not helpful and don't need to believe it. And then seeing how there's someone that believes it anyway, a little bit, and then there's kind of like this willingness on somebody's part sometimes to collude with that and kind of participate in behaviors that kind of reinforce it. Like, you know, if the voices are telling me, for instance, that, you know, you're socially awkward or something like that, you know, you're anxious around other people, you know, and then seeing how, you know, believing that creates this kind of nervousness and awkwardness that kind of makes it real type of thing. Yeah, and just kind of and seeing that process and just seeing like, wow, you know, wow. It takes a huge amount of willingness on my part to even look at that at all. There's like this wall of resistance to looking at how I cause myself to suffer kind of at that level.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
well, and the fear that, you know, if I say, no, that's not true,
right.
You know, you can't make me feel self-conscious and awkward around people. Oh my God, what's it going to do to me the next time I'm out in public? You know,
that's it.
I can't risk it.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like there's that whole thing, you know, that we talk about, you know, that there's some horrible, god-awful thing lurking just under the surface in me, you know, and that if I disturb it, then, you know, it'll come out and it'll ruin my life kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the stick that it beats mm-hmm. me with. And that's the whole blackmail thing. That's like, well, mm-hmm. if you just tiptoe real quiet and don't look at it too much, you know?
Yeah.
Then,
yeah.
And it that works to some degree. It's like, you know, there's not the real acute distress.
Yeah.
But there's this kind of dull, like, feeling of, I'm not living my life.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying. That's the temptation, because it does sort of work. And and I guess what we're getting to in this conversation is, at a certain point, I have to say, yeah, but I don't want to be half alive.
No,
so
no.
I'm going to risk whatever that sleeping giant is going to try to do to me if I wake it up. You know, I just have to risk it. And that's all there is to it, because I don't want to go, I don't want this half-life any longer. I don't want to be sort of okay.
No, I want, it's this very unique opportunity that we have here, and I want to take full advantage of it. And I just have such, respect for this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to miss it,
exactly.
Kind of thing. And so
I've
got a poster over my bed that says, I will do whatever it takes to help you wake up and end suffering. And just reaffirming that every day, that whatever it takes means sometimes some pretty spooky stuff, but
there's
level of willingness.
Yeah, and you cannot fail. With that level of willingness, you cannot fail.
Yeah, well, it's just, I'm so thankful for the support and for the practice, because there's no way without that, you know, it would just be too spooky. And so just huge gratitude.
Yeah, I know exactly. I mean, nobody in their right mind. Think of the Buddha doing this on his own. Good grief.
God.
If it had been up to me, there would be darkness everywhere all the time forever. So,
yeah.
Grateful to everybody who's gone before us.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
And practice just works. I mean, it works. There's little gaps, you know, and even though it's spooky and I'm seeing stuff that's, you know, uncomfortable
terrifying.
Or whatever, it's like, whatever. You know,
yeah.
It works. There's little breaks and I'm in it and I'm not in abject misery, and it's all thanks to practice.
I hear you. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
For calling in. It's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lakota. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, it sounds like you were talking about living boldly and risking conditioning's wrath.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. That is what we were talking about, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I would not have put that together, but that's exactly what we were talking about. Yeah. Wow, that's very good.
Very fun.
I'm going to put a sign. I'm going to put that sign up over my bed.
Yes.
I love that. Have a sign right there over your bed. You open your eyes in the morning, and there is my assignment. There's my commitment. There's who I am and what this life is about, and here we go.
Great. That's great. Sherry, we're going to stop, drop, and breathe, and we'll be right back.
All right.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Right. It makes me laugh every time.
It does, me too.
I love the finest purveyor since 2008.
I love that crescendo at the end there with the crowd.
Yeah, it takes me back to the old Elvis days.
Yes, yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Sherry, we have about 13 minutes, and we have two callers in the queue here.
Oh, this could work.
Could work. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Oh, great, I'm on. Hi, Sherry, this is George.
Hey, George.
Yeah,
how
reporting back in.
Excellent, excellent.
I haven't been to Africa like you, but last time I talked to you, I was deep in one of my depressive trenches that I...
with some regularity.
Right. I had actually, 2 weeks before I called you, I had actually started on an antidepressant that a psychologist had highly recommended to me as being really helpful to his clients and so on. So I said, well, you know, anything I can do to help this guy end some suffering, I'm not going to judge it. I'm just going to go ahead and give it a shot. And about 2 weeks into that is when I called you, and nothing had changed at that point. And I told you that I had this tremendous tension, anxiety, terror, this feeling of terror in the pit of my solar plexus. It was just, you know, incredibly intense. You had asked me almost immediately, well, are you physical? And I said, well, I've been doing some, you know, pretty physical yoga in the morning. And she said, well, you know, you need, have you been doing any walking? And I said, well, sometimes I do some walking. Said, well, I want you to get out and really walk. I mean, walk
I
hard.
I want you.
What's that?
The word marathon, didn't I?
Yeah. So
yes.
Walk as if you're preparing for a marathon, yeah. So I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So I got out. I think the first day was pouring down rain, or the second or third day, I don't know. But anyway, I remembered you have said many times, there's weather, it's weather is not, something about, you know, it's not the weather, it's the clothing.
Right.
You know, the weather's
right.
Never
it's not bad
weather.
Weather.
It's always, you know.
Right, inadequate clothing.
It's always inadequate clothing. So I've managed to pull together some semi-adequate clothing anyway and went out. And so for weeks, I trudged. I mean, I you know, power
walk.
Walked. through the snow, through the rain, through the whatever, through the very some very cold weather here. And never did the voices ever want to go out and do this, of course.
No.
But I went out every day, and I used, you know, you had recommended some kind of a mantra.
Uh-huh.
So I started out saying, you had recommended breathe in peace, breathe out joy. So I started with breathe in peace and breathe out joy, and then I added, you know, breathe in acceptance, breathe out gratitude, breathe in, you know, kindness, breathe out gratitude, breathe in, so on and so forth, as many things. And whenever something would really hit, where it would really, yes, that really feels good, I would just use that as a mantra for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then it changed into this little song, I'm just not worried about nothing, I'm just being happy with you, which was one of your originals also. And I'm just not afraid of nothing, I'm just enjoying my life with you, and, you know, made up a variety of verses like that. And so I did that for a couple of weeks, and then lately I've gotten into, I love my life, I love, and then if the sun's out, I love the sun, if the rain's out, I love the rain, I love the trees, I love the squirrels, I love whatever it is that crosses my path. So I've been doing some of that lately. And what I just discovered is that it works. It worked amazingly well, actually. It pulled me out of the trench. Not immediately. It took some time, you know. And,
sure.
But there was a gradual, you know, the direction was up and out. And then once I was kind of up and out, I thought, well, you know, I wonder if it was that or whether it was maybe this
drug.
Antidepressant I've been taking.
Yeah.
And I really don't know. So I gradually weaned myself off of the antidepressant and watched the side effects go away, but also the withdrawal effects come on too. But I just kept walking through all of that, and I'm still walking, you know, nothing has just kept getting better.
Wow.
I mean, it has just continually gotten better. And the other thing that I've noticed is because about 3 years ago, I read a book on this whole bipolar thing, so I was trying to figure it out. And one of the suggestions they had was keep a track of your daily mood. So I started keeping a track on a spreadsheet of how much I sleep every day, whether I do yoga, whether I do meditation, whether I listen to open air, whether I walk, whether, you know, any drugs that I'm taking, any, you know, and then I give myself a number on depression and anxiety, and then I have some notes for every day. So what I've noticed is over the past 3 years, I've gone from decades of the pattern has been for decades of being depressed 6 or 7 months out of the year and then being, you know, feeling good maybe 3, 4, sometimes 5 months out of the year. That has now reversed itself so that over the past couple of years, I've been depressed 3 months out of the year and been, you know, feeling okay or sometimes very good for the rest of the year.
Wow.
And that in itself, if it goes no further than that, is an incredible miracle.
Yeah, that's extraordinary, isn't it?
It's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. So I'm just extremely grateful, as everyone says over and over again, for practice and for this program and for all of the program, because, you know, everything, you know, there was a whole foundation of practice in place to begin with. That needed to be there, including reflective listening and, you know, doing transform your life and doing meditation and all of that. So the walking was just the additional peace that I needed at that particular point.
Yeah, and to give your body that support.
Yeah.
So to get those sensations that get trapped in a certain karmic pattern, get those moving. And then when you combine the thing that you're doing with yes, all of those other supports are in place. So you're practicing turning your attention away from the story, back to something that inspires you, back to the present. And then you add this element of moving your body so that the sensations are not connected with the same information. So you're moving, the sensation is there, and you're saying, I love the sky. I love the birds. I love the, you know. And this is a completely different relationship with life than that karmic pattern. So, you know, really, congratulations, George, because, I mean, you've worked really, really hard to get to this place. And so I hope you, you know, this Rebecca and Michael started off talking about best year yet in this process that we just went through over the last 4 days. And it starts off with appreciation.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's the beginning of everything. So really, to allow yourself to take in the magnitude of what you have done for yourself over the years practicing in this way. So.
The day begins. The day begins with gratitude.
Yeah.
I have a whole series of exercising, breathing exercises I do with mantras in the morning, first thing in the morning. Also, which is another thing that I added since the walking was doing, you know, the mantras were doing so well.
And of course, what I'm encouraging is make sure there's a good deal of appreciation and gratitude in there for the guy who's doing this.
Good. Yeah. And it's interesting to note that even after, you know, I've clearly proved to anybody that's hanging around with me here that there's no question that this works and works extremely well. Still, when I think about going out to walk, there's a voice that comes up and says, "You don't really want to do that. You don't really need to do that." You know,
and
you could skip today. You know, you really
that it's saying,
you know, it's
you.
Cold out. It's you know, you're tired. You know, and really, I almost fall for it.
Yep.
And yet, within 3 minutes after I'm out there walking, it's like I don't want to be anywhere else. I don't want to be doing anything else.
Right. That's right. So that voice calling you.
Yeah,
you know that's the big clue about who that is.
And
if it were honest, it would be saying, you know, I don't want you to go do that.
Right.
I don't want you to get free of me, and that's what's going to happen to you if you go out there. So why don't you stay here with me, and I'll just set about making you miserable.
Yeah, and that's exactly what would happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, sir. That's great
thank
news.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Keep in touch.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, George. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, this is the Success Show.
Yes, it is. It is. We missed one person, huh?
Yes, that person has dropped off.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll try again next week. But yes, it is. It's wonderful to hear people's devotion to practice and testimonials for how practice works when we make that effort to bring our lives into practice. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and thank you to everyone who's been involved in every way.
Yeah. Next week.
Next week.
All right. See you there then.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye.